High tomorrow 71, the high Thursday 74. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, that was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Thing. I just wanted to say, I never do this. I'm going to channel my inner Kane Womack here, but I just want to thank the fans. I've coached the NFL, top five games, national championship, and that was the most electric atmosphere I've ever seen. So, hold tight.
All right.
Okay, ready?
Start with Vic, front right.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask about Ryan Williams, getting him to have a chance to, I don't think he had a single drop. He made some tough catches. What do you think about his play and how he responded?
Not surprised. He's been working really hard, been saying that for a couple weeks, that, you know, it just felt like the process was going to pay off for him, and he's stuck to his guns on the things he'd been trying to work on, and obviously made some really, really tough catches in the game. And not just that, but his releases against man coverage, holding the line on the edge of the sideline, just he did a lot of things really well.
Let's go to Chase on the far left.
I want to ask you about Daniel Hill. It looks like the last two games he's been big for y'all late in the fourth quarter. Do you see his role expanding at all with the way he's playing?
I do. We're a production-based business, and Daniel certainly did that at the end of the game. I thought he brought a spark to the run game, some broken tackles, good vision and patience in the screen game. And, you know, Daniel's a talented kid. We've kind of been waiting for him to get healthy and show out some of the things that he did this spring for us. So was excited to see him, you know, step up in that spot.
Let's go to Colin.
Hey, Ryan. When going into each week, how does, I guess, what's the conversation look like between you and Coach DeBoer about, you know, those first 12, 15 plays, those script plays, and what role does, I guess, Ty come into that? Like, what kind of does he have input? Like, what does that conversation look like going into each week?
I don't talk to Kalen about the opening script or anything like that. As far as Ty, you know, the way I look at it is I tell our guys the same thing every week. When I go to make the openers and the plays that are going to be called in the game, I take a full cut up on Thursday afternoon of every play we ran in practice, and then I go through all of them. When I watch the plays, it's kind of tell the truth Thursday, where you're looking at it like, okay, what did we actually execute well? I know the plays that I like and that I want to favor, but when it came down to it, what were we executing? And then from there, I get a list from Ty every week of some of the things that are, I give him a section for each part of the call sheet. What are his favorite throws? What are his favorite plays? And I certainly take that into consideration. You know, what are the plays that he feels the most comfortable getting to? And then you just kind of add it all up and put them in order and let it rip.
Go to the back on the right, Mike.
You had a couple changes along the offensive line to start. Just what did you see out of Jaden and Carroll to start the game?
Yeah, J-Rob has been getting healthier every week. And, you know, I thought he played really good in the first quarter and part of the second quarter, and was just great to see him out there. And then Michael, you know, he's been battling with Wilkin. I thought Wilkin really stepped up, and I thought Wilk played really well. I thought there were some things that he hadn't done yet this year that showed out really well, and still grooming Michael as a young player, and I thought he did some good things as well.
Jump over to Katie on the left side.
Sticking with the O-line, what did you see from them and Ty in his decision-making and they're not being a sack this week?
Yeah, I thought there was probably six or seven plays in a row where the pocket was just so clean, and I thought the guys did a great job settling in as the game went when we needed to have some clutch throws. You know, early on, I actually thought there was some traffic in the backfield. I thought we did a good job of getting those things cleaned up on the sideline. And, you know, for Ty, there was two throws for sure that were clean throwaways that I thought he didn't do the week before. And I knew that was something going into the week that Ty was going to be really focused on. We had talked
about gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
a lot of resiliency in our players. I thought, you know, that's one thing that our guys have done a great job of developing. I think Coach DeBoer has done a tremendous job of developing a grit and toughness in our team, and it's showing up on game day. You know, we were able to affect the quarterback the other night. We were able to limit some of the shots. You know, this is a team that had really created a lot of shots downfield, had capitalized on those shots and explosive plays. And we were able to limit some of those things in the passing game. You know, obviously 4 sacks and 8 TFLs, that helps. I think we took some steps in the right direction in terms of affecting the quarterback. And yet at the same time, you know, we've had a number of 2-minute situations that have come up the last few games, and we have not been able to get a quarterback on the ground. And so that's something that we have to find a way to affect the quarterback at the end of games in particular. And that's something that we certainly will continue to look at and figure out how to put our players in the best position to go put people away at the end of games that we have not done consistently well enough. You know, probably the stat of the game is they were 2 of 5 in the red zone. You know, really, you know, great fight from our guys. We talk about it all the time. You know, Coach DeBoer talks about it all the time. Just make them snap the ball one more time. Kind of that E-Bombay, mentality that our players, we talk about that all the time. The, you know, the quote from the movie, The Black Panther, right? Just hold the line, hold the fast the line, do your 1/11th and do your job, and good things can happen. And so, that was certainly a positive there. Twice they got inside the 3-yard line and came away with -7 points. So really a great job, by our guys, and certainly, Zabian making that play right before half was a tremendous momentum for our football team. Fundamentally, we have to keep improving. Good teams are going to find ways to improve as the season goes on. I think some of the things when we are giving up explosives, particularly in the run game, there are fundamental issues, not leveraging the ball properly, finishing plays, tackling, and there were some things that we got exposed on there that we've got to make sure that we're striving to become better fundamentally. You know, ultimately, you know, nobody stays the same. You know, everybody's got to find a way to keep getting better, find wrinkles schematically, find things fundamentally that we can keep improving and play with the edge that we have developed and that we've earned as a football team. When you look at South Carolina, you know, this is a fantastic game day environment. You know, it's a hard place to go and play. I was, you know, been at multiple games. My dad coached there for a couple of years, and I've watched them take the momentum from games, and their fans do a tremendous job in the environment that they create. This is obviously a very dangerous quarterback in Lenore Sellers. He does some great things in the passing game. You know, very hard to tackle, almost never gets tackled and brought down by the first guy. And so anybody that can create and extend plays with his feet is certainly going to present problems for a defense. You know, you look at their team, and I know they've had some struggles, but this was a team that won 5 of their last 6 in 2024. They had a very similar schedule going into our game and then rattled off, you know, a number of wins. Winning does not get easier. We talk to our players about that. It only gets harder because of the target that's going to be painted on your chest. We're always going to get teams best. But there's an earned confidence that our players, can, you know, need to continue to play with as we start transitioning the back half of our season and SEC play. So looking forward to the week of work, looking forward to finding a way to get our players better. And play with an edge as we get into Saturday in Columbia.
Right. Thank you, Coach. Coach, do you know Coach Shula at all? And how different do you see their offense kind of with him calling plays this year compared to last?
Yeah, no, I don't know Coach Shula. I know he was here, I guess, when my dad was the defensive coordinator to Arkansas. So there was some crossover there. But no, don't know him in particular. You know, think highly of their staff. You know, I've known Dow Loggins, their former offensive coordinator, very well. I know they've kept the same system. You know, you think about, you know, Shane and his offensive background. You know, they're very good offensive minds. They've got a very dynamic passing game, good complements in the run game. You know, they run the quarterback enough as well that, you know, makes things challenging to defend with the one-plus quarterback system. And so, you know, they present a number of challenges. And anytime you have an athletic quarterback like that that has the arm talent to make all the throws on the field, they're going to make you defend, you know, the width and vertical stretch of the field. So be a good challenge for us.
Staying on the right side, let's go to Nick next.
Yeah, you talked, I think, in the spring about making sure that handling success is done better this season than last season. You faced some tough offenses, and now this is an offense that statistically I think is worse than the SEC in terms of points per game. What is the message going to be in terms of not looking at, okay, you know, you can easily take your foot off the brake when you're facing an offense that isn't perceived to be as good as what you have faced?
Yeah. I mean, that was obviously a pretty tremendous stretch there. I felt like, you know, every team I would come in and look at the stat line and somehow they were always the first number one in the SEC and scoring offense and half the numbers and all those things. You're going to have teams, right, that, you know, maybe on paper look a certain way, but when you turn on the tape, this is a very dangerous football team. And I think our players have the maturity enough to be able to see those things. And I think we have the maturity, or we have developed the maturity to learn from our past adversity. And that's something that I think this team has an edge right now, in large part because we have learned from mistakes of the past and we haven't forgot about those things. And those are things that we need to make sure that we carry throughout the rest of the season. Success, if handled properly and not allowing complacency, which complacency will creep into any area that you allow it. It's like, you know, rodents getting into your house, right? You know what I mean? Once they're in, right, it's hard to get them out. Complacency is exactly the same way. You have to find ways to shore up any area for us as a football team to make sure complacency isn't there. And I think Coach DeBoer has done a tremendous job with that with our players. And I think our players have a maturity to make sure that those things don't happen.
Jump to the far left, Chase.
We saw a little bit more of Red Morgan against Tennessee. It looked like he played pretty well. Can you just speak to his role in progress?
Yeah. You want to make sure I play him too or whatever, you know. So, you know, I thought you'd give me more of a scheme, you know, question or something like that, you know. I'm telling you, you win a couple of games and everybody gets complacent, you know. I think, you know, Red is, it's been fun for me to watch Red's development and growth. You know, he had to do so many things. We asked a lot out of him a year ago as a true freshman to go in and play in some high-level games and execute. And he took his lumps and he also did some really great things. I think fundamentally he has improved so much. His consistency on the field has improved so much. And it was really great to see him be rewarded with the way that he's playing right now. He's got twitch. He can make space tackles. He can take the air out of the ball, meaning that he can, you know, cover a lot of ground in a short amount of time. And when you're dealing with teams, you know, for example, like Tennessee, that stretch you laterally in the RPO perimeter passing game, it's really good to have, you know, a guy that not only can, you know, can close space, but can also finish on the ball carrier. I thought he did a tremendous job of that the other night.
Go to Emily Grace, second.
So on Saturday, Xavien Brown talked to us about how he had that awareness that the clock was ticking down, right? He had to get to the end zone. What does that do for you to know that your DBs have such awareness of the situation to not only make the play, but then make the play after the play?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was a tremendous play that Xavien made. And I think one of the things that's so impressive about Xavien is that whatever you emphasize, whatever, you know, you work, it shows up on game day. And that's a lesson that all of our players on defense can learn from Xavien, you know, the consistency that he brings. You know, that situation in particular, we had come out in a different personnel grouping in the play before, and then we had asked for a timeout so that we could see what they were going to be in. And then we brought the guys on the sideline and talked about, hey, listen, this is probably going to be some type of power pass situation, right? And have your eyes in the right place, do your job, do your 1/11th of the defense. And Zabian was just all over it, you know. And so in the moment, right, one, his eyes are in the right place. He knows what to expect. He does his job. And so we built like a cover two concept over there. He goes and makes the play. And then we talk about it all the time. You know, we haven't done it nearly enough. In fact, we've only had two defensive touchdowns since I've been here. Both of them were Zabian. But you know, when you get the ball, we are trying to score, right? We're trying to make sure that the next unit that goes out on the field is our field goal unit. And, you know, really tremendous job by him. He put the ball in his outside arm, tucked it away, secured it, and, you know, was off to the races. So did a really great job there.
Second row on the left, Katie.
You talked in your opening about this a little bit already with the pass rush you need to do better late in the game affecting the quarterback. But just overall this season, how have you seen your defense grow and affecting the quarterback?
I think we're still inconsistent. I think very proud of Yanze Pierre and some of the things that he did. I think you look at the plays that he affected the quarterback, he did his job. He did his job at a high level. And when you do your job consistently, good things happen. And that's something that we've continued to stress with him and a number of our players, of just doing their job at a more consistent high level, and production will come from that. But at the same time, we've got to find a way to affect the quarterback better. When you get in 2-minute situations at the end of games and you're 4-man rushing and you don't really want to play man and you don't want to necessarily pressure, you've got to still be able to affect the quarterback. And we've had a number of situations right now where they have moved the ball right down the field and we haven't touched the quarterback. And that's something that we've got to find a way to get better at, or I've got to do some things differently from a schematic standpoint so that we can certainly stifle some of their 2-minute offense. On the flip side, when they did get down to the red zone, a tremendous job by our guys in fight to find a way to keep them out of the end zone, particularly in the fourth quarter.
Hey, Kane, kind of continue off what Katie just asked. When you look at what Yanze Pierre was able to do at the line of scrimmage, what do you point to and say, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do as an Alabama pass rusher? Like, yeah. What specifics do you see?
I think one of the most effective areas in pass rush is physicality. And, you know, everybody thinks it's a finesse game. You go watch the NFL right now, the vast majority of the sacks come from speed to power. We're not running around people, they're running through people. And our ability to do that's something that we have really worked at, is not running around people and giving up vertical lanes in the passing game, but working a speed to power, you know, crush style rush, condensing the pocket, right, and then falling back in, countering back inside on the ball carrier, or the quarterback rather. And that's something that I think we're taking some steps in the right direction, but we're still inconsistent, and that's something that we've got to improve upon.
Coach, let's stay up front and go to James Smith. I'd like to ask what he's been bringing to the defensive line from a production standpoint, but more importantly, from an emotional and mental standpoint.
You know, I think James, James flashes. He's a very athletic player, does some really good things. Needs to become more consistent. You know, a number of our guys are the same way. I'm not necessarily just singling him out. But there were some plays that, you know, he particularly left out on the field. A number of our guys left out on the field. And so that's exciting from a number of ways, because he was very productive in a number of plays, but there were also opportunities that we left out there on the field. And so those are things that, you know, I'd like to continue to see from him and a number of guys in our defense.
Thanks,
guys. Roll Tide.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
PearlRiverResort.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, We are here,
treating patients from every generation,
across the United States,
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers,
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers,
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Vehicle down and get $3,000 over book value only at Tuscaloosa Mazda. TuscaloosaMazda.com. Based on KBB Fair Trade Value on select models with approved credit. See dealer for details.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30 plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
The Tide Tailgate Show is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast on 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC and online at 95.3thebear.com and Tide100.9.com. Game day traffic reports to get you to Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Live reports from our Bama beat reporter, Wyatt Fulton.
Game day picks from the top games.
And this year, special insight each week
from Roll Tide Willie. The Tide Tailgate Show originates live from Grandstand in Tuscaloosa's Timberson Square.
Come sip beverages or grab a bite before or after the game.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier, so I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Up Tennessee, a lot of what I felt after the game, just a resilient effort again by our guys, sticking together, playing, you know, just good all-around team football. It's never perfect. It's hard to be when you're playing a good team like we had with Tennessee. And so just making plays at the right times, especially in the red zone, were really critical. 4-for-4 touchdowns on our end, holding them to 2 out of 5. So just critical moments. I thought our guys really did a nice job of stepping up. So just got to sustain the focus, sustain the edge that we have another week. And we know that's what it is in the SEC. You got to go on the road to a great environment, South Carolina, and face a team that, you know, I think when you look at defensively, just really stout and has a lot of dynamic playmakers, and offensively has the explosive players there to make big plays. They've shown that, and, you know, just have come up short in a few games. And so it's going to be a battle. We understand it's going to take 4 quarters of great effort like we've had.
Start with Chase on the left side.
I want to ask you about defending Lenore Sellers at South Carolina. Obviously, he's not only athletic, but he's big, he's strong, he can break tackles. It's a little bit different dynamic when the quarterback can run through a solo tackle, right?
Yeah. Watched a cut up this morning with the defensive staff, and yeah, that's just one play after the other, and there was more. We didn't even need to see it all because the point was very clear, you know, and we got to make sure our guys
continued to rally. We've faced, you know, running backs and guys that are tough to care to bring down. But, you know, this guy touches the ball every single play. And so you can get to him. That's one thing. But you also now got to get him down. And it's not going to be just one. It's got to take multiple guys, you know, rallying, you know, coming from different directions. He's got the speed. He's got the size. And he's just he's super strong. And he's a relentless player. He fights for every yard he can get.
You mentioned in your opening just sustaining an edge. The fact that you guys have played four ranked teams in a row and now you play a team that's kind of struggling, for lack of a better word. How do you keep guys locked in this week?
Just, I think, you always draw on the experiences. And, you know, the moment we're in right now, there is momentum. There's things that we're doing well. There's things that I know our guys have as far as goals individually as a team that we haven't even come close to reaching yet. And so taking those experiences from the past, good and bad, that we've been through, understanding that it comes down to our preparation and just locking in what we control. And that's what's got us to this point where every game means so much. And we got to tomorrow morning come with the edge that we have had. And I expect that from our guys.
Katie on the left.
Y'all talk a lot about winning the turnover margin. You obviously had kind of the bigger turnover play with Xavier's pick six on Saturday, but kind of what was the teaching point for the fumble on offense and just nobody going and getting the ball?
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. We showed that both in my team room, and it's a team thing too. You know, it was called a safety, right, when we got to Tennessee's quarterback. But I loved how our guys went right to the ball. And then there was another play where it was a throw. And I know we I'm trying to remember who caught it, but it was an incomplete pass. But I remember seeing Isaiah Horton sprinting towards the ball, trying to land on it. And, you know, I love that effort, but we definitely were not aware of the situation and need to be better in that moment to not give field position up like we did there on that play. Until the whistle blows, you got to keep playing.
Go to Dave, front right.
Hey, you talk about the edge that you guys are playing with, repairing with. How is emotion played into that, both from the players and from you?
Yeah, you know, playing home games and the energy and the rivalry, you know, you could feel it. You could feel it certainly the morning and the walkthroughs and things like that. You know, we got to make sure that we understand, you know, that we're going to be walking into an environment that will get on you in a hurry if you don't bring your best. And you know, the preparation, again, just the investment of time and the investment of your energy throughout the week, leading to a confidence and an excitement to go out there and make plays and to be our best. You know, I still challenge the guys, and they believe it, that the world hasn't seen Bama's best yet. And, you know, that's really what we're striving to do. And when you keep it just really as simple as possible on that, have great preparation, and everyone caring about what we're trying to accomplish, you have that edge. And so we got to stack another week of work, one day at a time, and be ready to go on Saturday.
In the middle of the room, Emily Grace.
Coach, you just said it, that the world hasn't seen Bama's best quite yet. To know that that's the mindset as you're sitting halfway through conference play, what does that do for you and this team to know that you still have so much that you can improve on?
Yeah, it's you know, why we're going to go to work tomorrow, and our coaches just always trying to find new ways to put our guys in better spots. And it's constantly evolving, right? Constantly changing, because it's a different opponent and it's different strengths that we're going to face. And so, you know, different position groups on offense, defense, special teams are all going to be put to the test differently than they were last week. It might be similar to a few weeks ago, you know, with your position group. But, you know, be better and, you know, help bring others with you emotionally. And we continue to raise our game physically. I think there's a toughness about us in all ways, but it's going to be a physical test this week. Both sides of the ball needing to match up against South Carolina.
Go to Colin on the front left.
Hey, Kalen. How much, I guess, input do you have when it comes to, I guess, first drive scripting? Do you talk it through with Ryan Grubb and What does that look like in terms of scripting those first 12, 15 plays, and then what, maybe even ties to put in that?
Yeah, you bet. I let them throughout the week, they're gonna really know what they're comfortable with. And usually Thursday we get to the point where Coach Grubb and the offensive staff have an idea, a really strong idea, and put a play bank together. I know he's going to really probably talk with Ty in particular, making sure that he feels all good with everything, and if there's anything he's concerned about. And usually you can feel that as the week goes on. I can see what that looks like on the call sheet, feel comfortable with myself. I always like to know what's early, but I don't press on him because I know as a play caller over many years, you might change your mind until kickoff. And so again, I kind of have an idea of what the bank is of plays that's on our call sheet, but not necessarily in a particular order. And just kind of checking off and making sure during the course of the game that those are the plays that we felt best about, that we're getting them called. And trust the rhythm, trust the prep that Coach Grubbs put in, and seeing the adjustments, maybe the changes in the way it presents itself that might be different than when we worked on. But they're so thorough, they're so detailed. Ryan's just dialed in on all those situations and, understanding probably as much as anything, what are the third down calls? What are the fourth down calls? What are the plays in the red zone when we get in those moments where you got to decide, it's fourth and two, and what are we going to do? And, having an idea of kind of the one or two calls that might be next on the call sheet. So I really let them work through it, but I can see, later in the week, by Friday for sure, of what really that's probably going to be when it comes to our openers. So
let's go to Jamie on the front right.
Hey, Coach, you guys continue to win, which means the target on your back only gets bigger. And no matter who you play, it seems teams are going to always play up. Fans are going to be extra hyped to play you guys. So my question is, how do you carry the energy from a big home win like Tennessee on the road in a hostile environment this week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's their homecoming, too. And so, you're just trying to find every way and everything, to present a challenge to our guys, and what they're up against. And I think, again, going through the experiences we've had together, our guys understand we are going to get everyone's best shot.
Coach, going back to the emotions of the game, what have you seen from James Smith emotionally in this season, and how do you channel him to more consistency, as Kane Womack said a minute ago?
Yeah, when you think big picture from a year ago to now, I love the energy, and just there's a personality, and there's a connection that I feel with him, and I feel like our relationship is really good. There's been moments, and he had one where he hit the quarterback late, I know how much he cares. I see it, and he's as soon as he was back there talking to me, owning up to it and knowing he messed up. And so it's just a matter of learning from that. And, I feel when people do care like he does, they'll be better because of it. And so, that doesn't mean you don't have consequences that come along with the penalties in that particular case, like we have in our program. And so, he owns up to that, takes care of those consequences, and we move on.
Hey, Coach, what do you think has cost your team in some of these road games versus unranked opponents, and how do you try to avoid that this week?
I'm sorry, I was trying to find you first, and so what was the first part?
Yeah, so some of these road games against unranked opponents that you guys have lost, what do you think has cost your team in those games, and then how do you try to avoid that with this one this week?
I think there's different reasons. I think there's been times where neither side of the ball could really overcome, and the momentum swings, and it just built on itself. I think starting games quickly, at least one side of the ball, starting and getting stops or putting a score on the board. But I think a lot of it is just execution in critical moments, converting a third down when it's really loud on the first drive of the game, or getting the ball in the end zone, or getting a big stop. Those things are the things that you need to have. And then as the game goes on and it is close, again, I talked about critical moments. I said it all off season, be great in the critical moments. And that's really, there's been some close games, and in critical moments, a critical moment doesn't always mean the fourth quarter, it could be at the end of the second quarter, and getting a stop and finding a way to put it in the end zone yourself as the clock's running out. So be great in those critical moments, and that is different things for different sides of the ball, staying on the field offensively, converting, and making them line up and play another snap. defensively, because I really feel like, you know, when our fight is there as a team, you know, I think, again, the experience that we've been through, it's added to a resiliency. It's added to a belief. It's added to a consistency and a toughness, again, mental, physical, and emotional, that our team really is counting on each other to get the job done.
Thank you.
Yep, Roll Tide.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we're going to talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL, the Big 870. We'll do a Southern Owl House score prediction day. We'll talk to Dalton Wasserman from ProFootballFocus.com. And we're going to also talk with one of the newest commitments to the University of Alabama, Trent Seaborn, committed from Thompson High School. He'll join us right here on The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at tuscaloosacdjr.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
If you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Stop paying for watered-down detergents. Pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods. Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation across the United States and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves. We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer. We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors who are
moments from The Game. The Tide Post Game Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
The Tide Tailgate Show is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast on 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, and online at 95.3thebear.com and Tide100.9.com. Game day traffic reports to get you to Bryant Denny Stadium.
Live reports from our Bama beat reporter Wyatt Fulton.
Game day picks from the top games.
And this year, special insight each week
from Roll Tide Willie. The Tide Tailgate Show originates live from Grandstand in Tuscaloosa's Timberson Square.
Come sip beverages or grab a bite before or after the game.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
Affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at tuscaloosacdjr.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205 393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Toronto Blue Jays will host Game 1 of the World Series against the Dodgers on Friday night on Fox TV. The Blue Jays won Game 7 at home to take the American League Championship, eliminating Seattle 4-3. George Springer with a three-run homer in the seventh. The loss to reliever Edward Bazzardo, who allowed the home run to the first batter he faced. The save to Jeff Hoffman, who got three straight strikeouts in the ninth. The series MVP was Vladimir Guerrero Jr. There were two NFL games Monday night. Seattle took the late contest over Houston 27-19. The Seahawks, despite four turnovers, get the win. They're 5-2. Detroit beat Tampa Bay 24-9. Each team 5-2. Jahmyr Gibbs of the Lions with 17 carries, 136 yards rushing, and two scores. Tampa Bay veteran wide receiver Mike Evans just returned after his hamstring injury. He left before halftime of this game with a broken collarbone and concussion.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again, that was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Hour number two officially underway. Appreciate you guys being patient with us. Now, I know it's been a conference-driven day so far on the radio side of things. I know on our YouTube, everybody just popping in because we just potted up the stream. When I tell you we've had every type of technical difficulty possible this morning, Man, it's been a rough start. But nonetheless, we are here, and we plan on listening to those press conferences anyway, so it just worked out. We were able to hear from Ryan Grubb, Kane Womack, and head coach Kalen DeBoer, and then that led us right into hour number two. And finally, I was able to go to our backup resources. I got my laptop pulled up, a little bit different setup here, but it's all good. We're ready to rock and roll. We still got plenty of time to do so. Obviously, we talked plenty about Tennessee yesterday. We recapped that game from Saturday, big 37-20 victory over the Volunteers, four straight ranked wins in a row. First time that's ever been done in the SEC. So obviously our team is firing on all cylinders right now. Don't know if we can say the same about South Carolina coming off of a disappointing loss to Oklahoma. And obviously you guys know what this week means. Me and my dad, we're going at it this week, right? He's a former Gamecock. Obviously I'm alumni of the University of Alabama. So it's going to be exciting. And nonetheless, we got him here on the show. So we definitely will dive into some South Carolina talk today. I know it says early preview, but now that we've got him on here, he'll definitely be able to give us a lot of insight. He's close to the program. I know he's real close with Shane Beamer, and he probably has a better idea what's going on. I'm not going to lie. From what I've seen on tape,
I don't know, man. Haven't been too impressed, but we'll see. We'll see what he has to say. So let's go ahead and welcome him on. Obviously, let you do what you're. It looks like you're driving, so I'll let you take your time. Oh, bet. All right, cool. Welcome in, man. It's that week, man. It's been a long time coming.
It's that week. It's I've been crazy swamped. it's been just absolutely crazy for me. But when you take over church and people and being a pastor, you're talking about hundreds of people to, you know, your own stuff. So going back and forth to Greenville, it's been absolutely ludicrous. But yeah, I was able to get to my first game, although I've been at the stadium for tailgating at my buddy's condo. I never go to the game, but I went to the game, was on the sidelines against Oklahoma. And, I wanted to see it with my own eyes up close and personal rather than just watching tape. And this team has definitely underperformed all season long. Came out top 10, top 15 team. People was concerned. I remember we talked a lot about this was a potential game Alabama could lose, but I don't think anybody in their right mind even half-heartedly believed that at all right now. It's been a disappointing year for South Carolina. A very disappointing year with Lenore Sellers, one of the Heisman Trophy favorites, having played up to his caliber, the offensive coordinator, who Alabama fans are familiar with very, 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 very tightly, with Mike Shula. They're actually doing the students are having a very non-troubling, they are marching, they are doing everything to get rid of Mike Shula. That tells you how bad things are here in Columbia, South Carolina. So they're protesting his being here. We've had an offensive line coach. He got fired last week kind of unexpectedly after the LSU game. So there's a lot going on in this program. This team has a lot of talent. There's a lot of young talent, but they also have a ton of injuries. I mean, three starters went down. So you're talking about playing a Brent Venables defense last week with minus three starters and the guys that then two other guys go down during the game. So now you're talking about playing true freshmen. Secondary guys beat up, defensive linemen beat up. They just had a hard year. And, to win at a high level, you got to pray and hope that you stay healthy. And especially at those critical positions like offensive line. So not making excuses here at all. I don't think right now they're playing really good football at all. Lenore's has played decent, but everybody is spying. They're just taking him out of the game and daring other people to beat them. And with the offensive line being brutalized from injury, that he don't have a chance. So I don't expect that to change on Saturday, to be honest with you. I hate that. I'll be on the sidelines watching the game, but I don't expect anything to change. Now, it is college football, and we've seen crazy, crazy things happen. So if you're Alabama, you got to go. They're on this high horse, and you hope that they don't get overly confident, and then you go down to a hostile place. It will be hostile because people are going to come out. They're going to be 82,000 loud people there, and if you go making some mistakes and give this team hope, they'll sneak up and beat you. So, Alabama needs to be careful, but from the outside on paper, I don't think South Carolina has much of a chance.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I was watching the tape. I don't know how much you've been – it sounds like you haven't been able to catch much, but we finally got the All-22 here, right, where I can pull it up wherever. And unfortunately, I thought we were good to go. We've been watching tape, and they've been striking the channel. And anyway, I say that to say I've been watching a whole bunch of South Carolina – really, yesterday and today, and y'all's offensive line, brother. So you're telling me there's injuries because they're struggling. The running game is bad, like you said. Lenore Sellers, we know what he can do with his legs. He's trying to do what he can, but a lot of people are trying to take him out of the equation. You do have some good skill guys on the outside, but offensively, man, you guys it seems like you just can't figure it out. You're like dead last in the conference and scoring. dead last and rushing passing's like 14th. Offensively, it's pretty rough. Defensively, not too great either.
Defense is pretty good. They're not bad.
They're not bad.
They're one of the top in pass defense. Yeah, they're not bad.
No, pass defense pretty pretty decent. I know, obviously, Dylan Stewart is the guy. You got a number of transfers in there, a couple
former Bama guys.
But he should be good to go, right? I mean, I feel like he.
I think so. I talked to him Saturday. He hurt his hip. Things like a little hip pointer. That's what it looked like to me. But, you know, again, these kids don't wear pads no more. They don't wear hip pads. I mean, so, you know, if you get an elbow, which they were complaining about the offensive lineman of Oklahoma playing dirty, elbowed him in his hip and kind of messed that up. But I think it's going to be okay. But here's the bottom line, man. You're right. I mean, this offensive line has been brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, this team has had chances. At LSU, they were in the game. I mean, just as bad as they were playing last week for a long time, they were in the game as bad as they were playing. They got down. I mean, they had the ball first and inches on the goal line. I mean, but they
proceeded. Come on, against Oklahoma?
Going to shotgun.
Yeah, I saw that.
They ran the same play 7 or 8 times, and then they had another one down on the other. So this team has chances. I mean, let me just say this. You know, I've been this way with Alabama, and I am fair and balanced in breaking down the football in my analysis. And this coaching staff hasn't been good, especially on the offensive side. I don't like to say coaches need to be fired, but what I will tell you, I'll say it like this: your film doesn't dictate that you are a dude worth paying $1.1 million. And Mike Shula has not been good. And I just don't understand how he still, if he's not fired, he needs to be demoted because it's been horrible. You got a Ferrari at quarterback. Listen, Lenore Sellers is a Ferrari. And you don't utilize him, right? You are trying to keep him in the pocket. You're running these dumb, very predictable run plays.
They run a lot of the zone. It's a lot of inside zone, split zone. That's all they run it, and they use a lot of jet sweeps.
And you don't have the offensive line to block that, right? They're getting destroyed. So what do? You run play action. You run boots. You run zips. You run short, quick passing game. You get him outside. You move the pocket. You do things to allow him to be an athlete. He is the best when he's on the run. If you go look at his statistics, he throws a higher percentage running, outside of the box, on the move. I mean, you're doing nothing as a coach to help a young man play at a high level, period. And people want to say, like, Booger McFarland, which is a very, very idiotic statement. You're disappointed. Do you even look at the game? Do you even see you got three of your best offensive linemen out? Then two come in, they get hurt. Now you're done. Listen, what do you want him to do? What in the world do you want him to do? So this kid is a high-level player. This kid will still go a top two round if he decides to. He's 245. He runs a 4.4. He's got a big arm. He can play.
Lenore's?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's to be a top. No. I mean, he's a damn good player. I mean, he just doesn't have it up right now.
I mean, but I'm just saying what Booger McFarland is talking about, which is idiotic. I mean,
no, he's a good player. He's in a rough spot right now. I mean, there's no doubt if he had better offensive line, more weapons around him. No, he's a really good player. That's not
the problem. He's a real deal.
I mean, I think his passing is improved so much this year. I mean, I watched him play Missouri and watched the Oklahoma game, and I think there's one more drawing a blank. But no, I mean, he it's not him. He just doesn't really have the help around him. But let me ask you this, though. But let me ask you this, though. I mean, obviously, you talked a lot about South Carolina. We hadn't heard you talking anything about Alabama recently. And I am curious your thoughts. I'm curious your thoughts. Because, I mean, here's the thing. Since we've last talked, a lot of the issues that were coming up with this team have been addressed. Pass rush is much improved, which is impressive to me, knowing that we've actually lost guys. But I said Yonze Pierre, man, he's got to step up. We need him to be that X factor on this defense. He's coming off a 3-sack performance. Yeah, he's really stepped it up. I mean, just the juice. Mm-hmm. You know, not even just the sacks alone, just watching the tape, just watching him, you know, rush the passer. Like, he just looks so much more active and confident, and he's just much more of a factor now. The linebacker play, 41 is actually looking, you know, pretty damn good. You know, I still see some bad angles at times, guys, you know, doing some things fundamentally that they shouldn't do, but like linebacker plays better than, hell, we've seen some young guys step up. Damani's been, you know, going through a little bit of a rough patch, but DJ Lee, you know, stepping up in his place, and a guy like Red Morgan last week being able to come in the game. They're, you know, picking on Deshaun Jones in that slot. Staley was really working him, and they sub a young guy in there, and he, you know, does, you know, some really good stuff. So what I'm getting at is a lot of things that we've talked about needed to be better. Offensive line play, right? Sure. A little inconsistent. Running game wasn't really there. One really there this past week, but the 2 weeks prior with Jam coming back, it started coming along. They're still not fully consistent, and they're still rotating some guys, but they held a Tennessee defensive line that, you know, led the country or second in sacks, number one in sack production, to zero sacks. I know the chips helped them out a lot. You know, Ty, you know, him getting them in the right protection stuff definitely helps too. But anyway, I saw all this to say, in my opinion, Alabama looks like the best team in the SEC right now. I know you got A&M right there in front of them, still undefeated, but to me, Alabama is the team right now in the SEC. What are your thoughts over the last few weeks of what you've seen out of Alabama after going and getting four straight ranked wins, first time ever done in the SEC?
First of all, you know, as I say, you know, one thing people going to say about the Miller's Edge and me and you, that we keep it real. Like, when there's need to be criticism, I criticize, right? And that Florida State game was very much needed. Everything that we said was very much right and very much needed to be said, because it was facts. And here's also new facts. They have changed. They have addressed. They have turned things around. Ty Simpson is playing unbelievable. He's, in my opinion, the best quarterback in the country. I think he has set himself up to be a top 10 pick, you know, going forward if he can stay healthy. I think the offensive line has performed better, although they don't blow me away. I think the offensive line is still subject to some problems when they play the right team, when they run into somebody that's going to give them some issues. I thank God that you got a Ryan Grubb who understands, hey, I might want to leave Cuevas, or I might want to leave a back to Chip to help out when we playing some guys that got great bend and great speed that can get around the corner. So let's do that. But I also thank God for Ryan Grubb that's smart enough to say, you know what, I got a quarterback that understands quick game, right? Quick passing game. Ball's out of his hands. He's not going to sit there and pity pat and hold it. Although last week, a couple times he did, you know, so, and he yelled at him about that. He got on him, you know, get rid of the ball. It may get rid of, stop trying to do too much. So, you know, Ty's still making some immature mistakes, but not a lot to hurt your football team. So I'm excited about what the offense is doing. But hey, shout out to Cuevas. Who's phenomenal tight end position, blocking and catching it. He gives them an intermediate short passing game that seems to work to bail him out. I like what Jeremy Bernard, I like Ryan Williams bouncing back. Hey, he dropped some passes that people got on him. I got on him. But kudos to him for coming back. And then last week making some incredible passes, you know, things that we've come to know, adjusting, contorted, you know, with his body and things like that, and making some big plays. So the wide number one, the transfer from Miami. So they got guys, number 17. They got receivers that are making plays offensively, and you got a quarterback that understands the system, that is getting rid of the football, that's not taking a ton of sacks. So that's that. Defensively, it is to me, have stepped up in the front seven. And because that's where I was critical. But the area that I thought would be better, the back end has not been better. The young guys have stepped in and played well. I'm a little different, disappointed, I should say, sometimes, and the consistency, catch this, the consistency in number 18. He still makes a lot of mistakes. He will get you a pick, but he's got to play better. You know, number one, I wanted to jump through the TV and put him in the headlock 2 weeks ago. I mean, I don't know. I would have cut him and told him to go get out of that uniform. That's how horrible he was. And they put him on the bench. They put him on the bench because he was terrible. I don't know if his girlfriend broke up with him. I don't know if his cash app didn't come through or the car lot took his car. I don't know what happened, but he was out there playing like straight boo-boo. right? Straight boo-boo. And they replaced him. And sometimes, how do you get a guy's attention? Put him on the bench. And I've been saying that. Make them understand this is unacceptable. So I like what Womack did there. But I still think the secondary, well, if they play a very proficient passing team, is going to have problems. Now, the good news is pass rush is better. But I still think it needs to be much better. And they played a good Tennessee team that tosses around, give you to put pressure, make they use the whole field. I'm happy how they're playing overall. I think Alabama is a top five team. And I think they're consistent based on what they've accomplished. And so when it comes to the SEC, listen, it's going to come down to some critical games. Now, I think the end of their season really is not going to be hard. I think they find themselves in the SEC championship game. And they're going to beat LSU. They're going to beat Auburn. They're going to beat
Oklahoma's probably Oklahoma's probably the toughest challenge remaining.
Tennessee
was probably the biggest challenge they had left. And after seeing the way they played that game and the fact that they still left a lot out there. I mean, we could have played much better in that game. Granted, Tennessee shot themselves in the foot a lot, a whole bunch of drops that they had. We knew the big play on the goal line. Again, as much as we criticize the play call, which I do agree and I stand by, that was a bad pass. I mean, really, you still probably could have made something out of it. But still, anyway, with all that being said, the fact that we played Tennessee like that, maybe Oklahoma, and I could see Auburn kind of making that game a challenge. I don't see us losing that game, but I could see just knowing how it is going to Jordan-Hare and playing Auburn, knowing their defense is, you know, they've got a good front themselves. They'll get after you. I can see them making it a close game, but I'm with you. I mean, I'm pretty confident that as long as we don't shoot ourselves in the foot, we should win out. Now, I know that's jumping the gun, but it's just from what I've seen from LSU, even Oklahoma, Auburn, and South Carolina, we are a better team on paper than all of those teams. Now, I do know that, you know, any given Saturday, you can lose a football game if you don't show up. You know, some things don't fall your way. You know, momentum swings, whatever the case may be. But on paper, we are a better team than anybody we have remaining on the schedule. And I feel pretty confident about that. So I'm with you there. You good there?
I can't hear you.
Oh, all right. Don't worry. But we got to hit a timeout anyway. So we'll do this. We'll hit a quick timeout. We come back. I know we got some folks lining up on the phone lines. I want to hear from you guys. I know we got KJ on here. We got Pat. We'll go to you. We'll continue to give a little bit of an early preview on South Carolina. Obviously, my dad's boots on the ground there, right? Got a real lot of connections there. So we'll keep picking his brain a little bit. Plus, I'll give you my thoughts on what I've seen from these guys on tape. As well, we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9.
Treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Chance of a few scattered spotty showers this afternoon, otherwise partly sunny, the high 74. Tonight clear and cool, the low 41. Beautiful weather tomorrow and Thursday, the sky sunny both days. The high tomorrow 71, the high Thursday 74. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday, this is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts, goodfeetkickforcash.com. Check it out right now. Two, make sure you get signed up for the challenge, the Good Feet Kick for Cash challenge that they do at the home game to get a chance to kick a field goal. You start with, is it the 10-yard, right? You make that, you move to 20, make that move to 30, up to $1,000 that you can win. And if you don't make anything, you still get a prize on behalf of the Good Feet Store. So make sure you do that, goodfeetkickforcash.com. Do it right now. All it takes, literally 5 seconds, your name and email. That's it. And if you're dealing with any type of pain, make sure you head on over to the Good Feet Store, Good Feet Tuscaloosa.com for more information. But again, you got one here in Tuscaloosa. You got Midtown Village. There's one, literally, I think there's five total in Alabama, but they're also throughout the country. So make sure you guys check them out. Again, that is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Yeah, about time the POP does show up. He is here. Obviously, it's South Carolina week. He is in the Hall of Captains there. I'm a former team captain here. Obviously, we definitely, lean our ways this week. He's an Alabama guy, too, but this is that week where we are a house divided. So,
I'm going to be on the sideline, so I'm going to walk over to Alabama sideline. I'm going to find J-Mo. I'm going to find, Cash. I'm going to find, Chap. I'm going to find Denzel. I'm going to go hug on the boys. Matter of fact, you know who I saw at the game on Saturday was Hootie Jones.
Yeah, he was in Columbia.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And I was at halftime, I was going inside, and he was like, man, Corey, he's like, man, I'm Hootie Jones. Now, Hootie looked like he played defensive tackle right now. He's big, boy. I mean, at least a lineman.
He ain't that big. I just, maybe linebacker.
No.
Hootie not long ago.
No, Hootie about 250. He's from Louisiana, so he had his Gamecock hat on. He says, girl works for South Carolina. And so he's also a Gamecock fan now, too. But we're gonna hook up on this weekend. And he said, holler at me. He want to come on the show. So
tell him to jump on here.
I didn't get his number. He said you had his number.
Yeah, I'll shoot him a text. So we got Crazy Tony Brown coming on here soon. He just dropped a new single, man. He's doing music right now. And so I told him, yeah.
Wait a minute. T. Brown doing some music?
Yeah, it's called. So he sent me the album early. I got the whole album. See, you know what I mean? That's my guy. So I got the whole album early. And the album's good. But he hadn't released that yet. He released one of the singles from it called Health as Well. I mean, I would just play it real quick, but I don't want to. Can we get copyrighted for that? I mean, hold on.
Everything, bro.
Everything. Here's a little snippet, though. Yeah, the beat. I mean, it's a good beat. Hold on. Let me. I don't want to get copyrighted.
See if I can get him into some gospel rap, then. See if he can hook up.
Here we go.
I don't know why I thought peace came with wealth. I done got some wealth and it broke me to pieces. Ripping me apart now, sent my creases. And she just wanna play.
Yeah, all right. See, it's smooth, though. It's smooth. You know what I mean? Like, a little bit different kind of flow. He's going to come on the show and talk about it, and obviously.
Well, I mean, listen, everybody think peace comes with wealth, which is the biggest lie there is.
He's spitting facts on there. He's some good music, man. Yeah, I'm glad he said he sent me the album like it's a few weeks ago, man. He hit me up and was like, I want you to check out my music. He's like, let me know what you think, honestly. I said, all right, I'm gonna keep it a buck.
Now, what would happen though? Let's go back to the. What would happen if Lenore Sellers go out there and play like crazy in South Carolina, Bama? What's going to happen? They're going to have some controversy. They're going to have some adversity in these games. I mean, when you go on the road in the SEC, we've seen it all year long. We can talk about how bad they have played, but I promise you right now, South Carolina backs is against the wall. I'm going to say this. I don't expect South Carolina to win, but this, I'm just telling you what I know. This right here is a trap game for Alabama. And you're talking about you have a desperate team like South Carolina that's going to do everything in their power because this game right here can flip their season. I mean, you're talking about maybe not get, they still got, listen, they still got to go to Ole Miss. They got to go to Texas A&M. They got Alabama this weekend. I mean, they're going to beat Clemson because Clemson's terrible. They're going to beat Coastal Carolina. That's five wins. They're going to have to beat somebody to make a bowl game. And so, Alabama, last time they was here, I remember that. You and I went to the game. This was back when you just got drafted, I think 2019, 2020, that year. The last time they came to Columbia where Najee Harris went off, Tua Tagovailoa went off in that ball game. But before then, it was in 2010, the last time South Carolina and Alabama played in Columbia, where South Carolina beat Alabama when they were the number one ranked team in the country. So I'm just saying, this is one of them games. Yeah, South Carolina has played terrible, but they have been in games and they just kind of, they are getting some guys back, I think, this week. You best believe Shane Beamer, there's pressure mounting here. A team that had all of this promise Finally, they won 9 games last year. Should have won 10, but they lost the bowl game. People thought they should have been a playoff team, right? And they got this guy, the most important position, that quarterback coming back, was one of the best in the country last year in Lenore Sellers. And they haven't performed nowhere up to their potential. And right. So this is a real, I'm telling you right now, nobody expects South Carolina to win. Nobody's going to expect them to win this game at all. But I'm just here to tell you that they're going to put everything into this game. Everything. It's 3:30. The fair is gone now. Things are going to start to say, listen, I'm just trying to tell you, Mike Shula, who was at the head coach at Alabama, not a good one, by the way. I think he had one winning year as a coach in 4 years. But listen,
he's got some extra motivation. That's true.
Yeah, but he better have some because there's people, I'm telling you, they're protesting today in Columbia, South Carolina, on campus. Fire Mike Shula. And so there's a lot of pressure happening. And think about what's happening in the SEC. Billy Napier, fired. Arkansas coach, fired. People talking about fire Brian Kelly at LSU after losing to Vanderbilt. I mean, there are people getting fired. James Franklin, fired, which is the most ludicrous thing ever. I get it, he lost some. But look at this man. This is the second most winning. It's Joe Paterno, I think. I mean, fired. I mean, they're talking about $50 million buyouts and people are getting fired. Lord, please, Jesus, give me a job at coach for 2 years with a buyout like $40 million. They can fire. Bro, I would moonwalk out of the stadium.
I said on the show, if y'all want to pay me $20 million to stop doing this show, man. I will pack up and you guys won't see a broadcast on this stream. The best job right now is being a failed head coach. That's a fact. But you got to be good first to get the big contract. Then you got to do something.
Shane Beamer buyout's on like $5 million. Dabo's buyout, $50-something million. Mm. I mean, so here, let me say this because it's been college football. There's not a dominant team in college football. Let's just get this right. Not one,
but I will say Ohio State, Alabama.
They ain't played nobody. They haven't,
and I know that does probably contribute to some of this, but I like their defense. They got two middle backers that are 6'4 and 6'5 apiece that look like damn action figures and work the edge. I mean, I don't know where they recruit linebackers out of Ohio State.
They got $20 million. They spend the money. Here's my thing. Okay, Ohio State, Oregon lost. Watch out for Indiana. Everybody talking about Indiana. I'm still not buying them, but boy, they made the playoffs last year. And again, Ohio State don't play them. I mean, so you got Oregon, you got Ohio State, Indiana, and the Big Ten, right? In the SEC, you got a plethora of teams. I mean, even like Ole Miss, don't count them out just yet. Don't count Georgia out. Georgia might be the most resilient.
Defense for Ole Miss is too leaky right now.
But that quarterback is phenomenal. A Division II guy. Texas A&M, I ain't buying Texas A&M at all because I don't think they played a difficult schedule. I mean, they went down to Arkansas, a team that's on life support. You know, that they barely get out of there with the win. I mean,
now, to be fair, that quarterback at Arkansas is
really good. He's the real deal. But I'm just saying, the SEC got 10 teams that are pretty daggum good. Right? And so, Big Ten
Vinny might fool around and sneak in either a playoff.
Vinny's a good team, man. But
here's
my problem, man. Coaching matters. I mean, Vanderbilt still don't have – if you look at their roster and they're getting off the bus, you're not sitting there going to bag up. If it was a pickup football game, you're probably going to pick half their players. But coaching matters. The system you run matters. And this coach who played at Vanderbilt, who I think was a defensive coordinator at Ohio State or somewhere before? I mean, so he's the real deal, right?
And he got –
Pavia, who's got an alpha male that's a dog, he just goes out there and balls. I don't think he's just a flashy good like that, but he's a winner. and he's about 48 years old. I mean,
I think what they do best is they put their guys in position to make plays and to do the best that they can. But they understand their personnel and they maximize that. And like you said,
and then just keeping it a buck, Alabama don't wow me like they used to. The old Alabama teams, like, they don't wow me. Like, they get in the games where that time they don't look good. They still have a very inconsistent running game. Very, very inconsistent. And what scares me about them against upper S competition is somebody's going to just dare them to throw 45 times. Kind of like what happened at Florida State. And I think that's going to start being some game plan. They're going to say, they can't run the football. Nobody's scared of Jeff Miller. Jeff Miller looks like half the player than what he was, whereas Justice Hayes looked like a monster in Michigan. Right, so my point to you is Alabama still scares me a little bit. And I know they beat some teams. They beat Georgia, which to me, that's a street cred game. Because them dudes had won many in a row, and how they hung in there and won that game, that was big. You know, they look great beating Vanderbilt, although they won. They beat ranked opponents, but they haven't been just flawless. So I'm just saying
let's salvage you finish that point now to respond. Go ahead.
I'm just saying there is no team right now in the SEC. It's going to be Ole Miss. It's going to be Georgia, Alabama, whoever can hang on and not lose that game like at South Carolina or at a team on the road where you think they're going to win, they come up short and lose. That's going to happen. Every year in November, those last 4 or 5 weeks, you can take this to the bank. They're going to be upsets. It always happens. And sure. this year is probably the best year that there's going to be a lot more of those that happen because I think there's so much parity because of transfer portal, because of how recruiting shakes out to be now. I mean, there is not Ohio State okay. Oregon's a good team. You know, Indiana's a good team. Alabama, Georgia's a good team. Ole Miss, it's a good team. That to me, your top 6-7 teams right there. Everybody else, and any of them, everybody else's through 20 can beat those top 6 teams. And that's what I'm saying. You just have no idea how this thing. To me, it's about just getting to the playoffs now. If you get to be one top 16, everybody in this top 16 this year is going to have a chance.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying. I agree that it's really not that one dominant team. I would probably say Ohio State, Alabama, maybe throwing Indiana in there. And then, like, real close, I would have Georgia, Oregon. Like, and I get what you're saying about Alabama, but here's the thing that I will add to that. Because I understand where you're coming from, but because it even bothered me that we haven't had a consistent running game. But what's evident at this point through 7-8 weeks, whatever college football that we've had, when Alabama has something that's not where it needs to be, these coaches are finding ways to lean into other aspects to make up and to compensate for that. For example, like the running game. Like we talked with Roman. We talked about, we know that, yes, it's extension to the running game. We know you can run screens. We know you can run jet sweeps, get guys like Jeremy Bernard involved. But, you know, sometimes, like, we talk about that, and, yeah, it works to an extent, but not, like, to the extent that I've seen with Alabama. We had Jam Miller rush for 15 yards. You would have never known the way that, you know, we bring Jeremy into the equation. We get Ryan Williams on the jet sweeps, reverse action type deals. And to me, Alabama has an offense right now that's so effective because we've got one of the most, you know, dangerous passing threats in the country with Ty, right? Everything that he's doing, he operates like an NFL quarterback. All the pre-snap stuff. I mean, you got to tip your hat to Ryan Grubb and the development that they've had with Ty. Because, again, I know everybody's like, oh, well, we had this guy sitting here. Ty was not the player he is right now that he was a year ago and definitely not 2 years ago. And then you look at the fact that you got guys coming up like Daniel Hill, who Jam, you know, he, and then just to remind people, Jam had a concussion. So, I mean, you didn't expect him to be his best last week. I don't think he should have played at all. But it's just like, man, they're finding ways to get guys involved. And when there are some shortcomings in certain places, they find ways to correct it. I know everybody looks at these numbers, and we've had trolls talk about, you know, like, oh, well, the offensive line is so perfect. I'm like, no, anybody watches football can say we've had some leaks, we've had some issues, right? Vannon Mark's been a liability. Right tackle's clearly a liability. There's a reason to rotate any guys. But what does Ryan Grubb do? He knows that their tackles aren't great against speed rush. He knows they're going against good edge rushers. What does he do? He leaves the tight ends to Chip. Something that we hadn't seen in the last few years. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist, but Grubb is smart enough to know he's going to put his guys in the best position. So to me, when I look at Alabama right now with our offense, man, I haven't seen anybody have a true answer to really slow us down. And it's not, you know, and it's weird because it's uncharacteristic. Normally a team that's not consistent running the football and likes to pass the ball a good bit, you don't control the time of possession like we do. And it's like, it doesn't really match up right. It doesn't make sense that we throw the ball so well, don't run it great at times, but we dominate time of possession. And that has been putting these defenses and teams in a chokehold. And this is my theory. We're seeing teams get away from what they want to do because they feel that the way we're dominating time of possession, it puts like this clock in their head, even though the score might not make the score doesn't have them that far behind. But when you're watching the game play out, you're like, man, Alabama's going on 6, 7, 8, 9 minute drives, moving the ball, and they can score when they need to score. They're protecting the football. They're not giving it up. These teams are like then, like Vanderbilt, Missouri. Why did Missouri only have 17 carries with their two backs and one of them being the top leading rusher in the country? It's not like they're way behind in points, but they felt that pressure because we were just marching down the field, holding on to the football, dominant. So that to me is definitely a big time threat for a lot of teams. And then last but not least, the fact that our defense is playing much better week in and week out. I know a lot of people, you know, look at, you know, some of the things that we've given up. We still way too many explosive plays at times. But what's funny is if you take away a lot of the explosive plays and you look at the numbers, they're a whole hell of a lot better than they are with those, obviously. But I mean, like Missouri, you're talking about going from, you take away two explosive runs, you go from giving up 160 on the ground, only 100. Like, that's a big difference, right? Tennessee, they show up 411 yards total, but a lot of it comes at the end of the game where they're just trying to throw the football in desperation mode. So the biggest thing
I will say this, I'm gonna make a prophetic proclamation.
Go ahead.
Lenore Sellers will have his biggest game on Saturday. And because one of the weaknesses of Alabama's defense is dual threat quarterbacks. And if Mike Shuler, listen, if he don't get Lenore's in the perimeter, moving the pocket and getting outside in space against this Alabama defense where they're struggling, then he needs to be fired on the sidelines. Don't even let him get back to the locker room because that would be the dumbest thing ever. If he tried to sit there and run inside zone against that's the weakness of our team. Our linemen inside, they're not going to block Keenan. They're not going to block Overton. They're not going to block these guys. They're going to eat us up.
I mean, they're going to have a day.
I mean, but so we can't run the ball, right? We cannot run the ball. So we're going to have to throw it 40 times, but it's going to have to be a lot of different kinds of runs. But my
they're
prophetic.
They're going to work the perimeter. I'm telling you right now.
They're going at it. They're going to attack. That's the weakness of Alabama's team. And their secondary. And that's secondary. So I think this offense is going to have some of a coming out party.
I wouldn't say our secondary is a weakness. We've had a couple guys that have been inconsistent, like a couple of the corner, like not just like if you're talking about Damani's been a little inconsistent, the Husky, which our slot corner, Deshaun Jones, some inconsistencies there. I'll give you that, but I wouldn't say that has been that consistent. If anything, we just haven't been tested a whole bunch. But no, I'm not worried about that. But like you said, they will hit jet sweeps. They will run screens. They run a lot of RPO. I didn't even get to really talk about what I saw on tape, but it's all good. We got all we can do that. But anyway, let's hit this timeout because I know we got KJ and we got a couple others. We'll try to squeeze them in. We come back on the phone lines right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Are a championship school, and school is in session.
He'll go on the toss to Jam. He cuts it back. He's got first down.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head east for SEC action against South Carolina. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa.
Gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off.
That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this Talking Tuesday. This is from the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, here we go. Let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. If you guys on YouTube stream haven't hit that like button already, make sure you guys do that real quick as we wind down. We got KJ up first. KJ, welcome in.
What up, yo? How y'all doing?
There
what
he
up?
Is. What up, hey, KJ?
Corey, I gotta love you, man. I'll stay in the hole for 45 minutes just to talk to you, Corey.
Like, bro, you know, you got the text. You just say, man, it's your boy KJ. Holl at me.
I got to, man. But look, so I was like, I got to tackle a couple quick things though, because I know we got other people on the line. The consistency comment from the weirdo about the O line, right? Like that was the troll or whatever, right? So Missouri we started Caden Proctor, Cam Dewberry, right, Brosford, Gino, and then I think it was Will Fumble, right? That was Missouri. Fast forward to this week, I don't know if they know, but Caden Proctor started. Gino actually started, what was it, left guard? Bradshaw started center, from my understanding. And then the right guard was Roberts, and then the right tackle was Carroll. So how is that the most consistent unit when we're starting consistent different people starting linemen game to game? Like, how? That's not consistency at all. That's what I was saying. It honestly really didn't make any sense.
And literally all I said was we hadn't been necessarily great in pass pro, and we need to get that cleaned up because we faced some really good fronts moving. Like that was what I said. So I don't know, which is literally what happened. They played better.
In terms of the running game, too, because I know we've been talking about the running game, like, I really give props because that was my biggest concern. I thought Grubb was going to be pass happy. He's still consistently staying with the run, even though that they're not, just to keep the defense honest, even though that they're not running the ball, you know what I mean, at a good level, he's still staying with it. He hasn't abandoned it yet, even with this prolific pass offense. He still hasn't completely abandoned it. So I got to give him his props for that.
And he even works the extensions of it. And that's the good. That's what I was saying, too. Like, you're right. He's committed to it. But even though it might not be there, he's not giving up on it. But he also knows he can work Jeremy Bernard in there on some jet stuff. He can work Ryan Williams on a reverse. He can do the quick screen stuff. You know what I mean? So I've been really impressed with Ryan Grubb. But I think everybody kind of.
Last game against Tennessee, I think our yards before contact was like .0. Like, we didn't even get a yard before contact last game. So.
This is why I'm saying they're gonna struggle with South Carolina a little bit, because one of the things that they should take advantage of South Carolina's in the run game, and I don't think they can. So if they go and become pass happy, well, that's where South Carolina's best. They want the best of the SEC.
If y'all are weak there, then that may be a scare. Who's the guy? And I want to ask you this, Corey, because I know you talked about Damani Jackson, and I get it. This is the Alabama State thing, so we don't really get to hear you chastise, you know, South Carolina players. Who's that one player that you don't want us to know about on South Carolina that you will bench right now?
That I will bench? I would bench every offensive lineman if it was me.
Okay, so your O-line is your weakness. Okay, so y'all said Pierre.
But again, let me say this, KJ. But there's a lot of youth. I mean, the three guys, I mean, South Carolina is filled with five and four stars.
No, we don't want excuses, because you don't give no excuses when you
get O-line. I don't give excuses, but they're true freshmen. When you got two freshmen playing at a position where it normally takes longer, right?
You have to be sensitive to the fact.
But I will bench them, and I'm going to find me somebody that's going to at least scrap and not just get beat. They're like, just to not open up the gate and let guys, like, run on in the backyard and do what you need to do. And that's the problem. You're not giving Lenore's time. You know, South Carolina needs to go max protection, quick passing game, middle screen, throw some deep to Nicholas Harbor, who's a world-renowned track star. He's 235 pounds. I mean, with Alabama cornerbacks, I'll take Nicholas Harbor. because Alabama's secondary does not scare me at all.
Why do you keep saying that? We got one bad corner, and he's been playing inconsistently. We not worried about Nicholas Harper. We're going to keep
But your safeties are not playing good at all.
Bray's playing good. Come on now. Bray's playing really good. Bray's playing good.
Nah, he's not playing. He's inconsistent.
No. You're tripping on that one. Bray's playing good. If I'm being honest with you, sometimes Keon Sab is a little questionable at times, but.
Listen, man, Alabama secondary, I'm just trying to tell you, is nobody scared of them. And so they better hope they get home.
We're talking about Lenore Sellers just dropping back in. I pray that they listen to you and you just have Lamar Sellers just dropping back going.
No. I'm going over there. I'm going to make sure that that's not going to be the game plan.
Oh, yeah,
God.
That's all I wanted to say, man. Hey,
Shane Beamer
on the hot seat.
He's
going to go back to Virginia Tech.
Nah, he's not on the hot seat, bro. He might just
want to
go to Virginia Tech.
You want to fire a hot coach, but you can't fire Shane Beamer. See, this is what we don't like about you. You're not keeping it real with South Carolina.
You're crazy. Wait, why would we fire the man? The season's not even over yet. He won 9 games. Should have been a playoff team last year.
They got rid of James Franklin, bro.
Come on, bro. The man's a good recruiter, a good coach.
I would take
James Franklin. Hey, listen, I will give $2.58 to the NIL.
We got to do this. We got to get out of here for radio, but we'll stay on here for a second on the YouTube. So YouTube, everybody stay right here. We're not going anywhere, but let me close out for the radio. That'll do it for us on this Tuesday, Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Appreciate it, everybody. Look forward to doing it tomorrow right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC.